Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today, Psalm 8, Lamenatzeach ala Gitit Mizmor LeDavid, to the chief musician upon Gitit, a psalm of David. After seven psalms of varying levels of crisis and of David pinning good against evil and enemies and judgments, Psalm 8 offers a refreshing, different perspective from David, this one about philosophy. There's no drama, crisis, in fact, no negativity at all. Instead, it is a psalm exploring the nature of God and man and the relationship between them. We begin with the title, and we notice a new word, gitit. Some suggest it's a type of song sang while working in the wine press. Others maintain that it's another type of musical instrument, and yet others suggest it's the name of a person who would sing this song. We'll find this continuously throughout learning Tehillim. We just don't have the answer. We have several suggestions and they repeat over and over again. The psalm begins with a turn to God in amazement at God's omniscience and power. Adonai Adonainu ma'adir shimcha b'chol ha'aretz asher tna hodcha al ha'shamayim. O Lord, how majestic is your name in the earth, who has set your glory above the heavens. Mipi olim v'yonkim yisalta oz l'man tzorecha lashbit oyev mitnekaim. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you founded strength against your enemies, that you, the mightiest, still use to destroy any enemy and the avenger. But the key sequence in the psalm is found at its center, when David HaMelech turns to the heavens and says the following lines, Ki yireh shamecha ma'aseh etzvotecha yireh v'kochavim asher konanta, Ma enosh ki tizkirenu, ven adam ki tifkidenu. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you've created, I ask myself, what is man that you should be mindful of him, the son of man that you should even regard him? And then the switch. V'tachzareu me'at me'elohim v'chavod v'hadar ta'atreu, tamshileu b'maseh yadecha kol shata tachat raglav. But you've made him a little less than Elohim, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Psalm 8 can be cut into two. The first five verses discuss God and leads up to God's dominance, omniscience, omnipotence, vis-a-vis man and all other living creatures. His name is too great for the earth. It belongs in the heavens. The Radak explains that second verse, Hashem Adonenu Ma'adir Shimcha, to mean that while God's strength and power can be seen throughout the land, his beauty, awe, and splendor are reserved for the heavens alone. The psalm is one of praise of God, his awe and splendor soaring beyond man's comprehension. Man is not on the map. In fact, this is what he recognizes, the insignificance of man, when he says, Ma'enosh, what is man? Why do you even think of him? And yet, the second half starts with man at its height. V'tachzareu. You've made God, man just a little bit less than God. Afterwards, it works its way down to other life's forms in which he talks about all the different types of animals and creatures. Man stands at the height of creation. For him, the world was created. Now we ask ourselves, how can this paradox exist? Was David's intention to exalt God and reflect on man's insignificance, as in the first section, or the opposite, to praise man at the highest form of life under God? Before we answer the question, we should note the subjectivity in the psalm. Ki ereh shamecha, when I consider your heavens. The concern is entirely with how man perceives God and himself in God's world. It's interesting that the theocentric first half is nevertheless described from man's perspective, just as the anthropocentric second half. Both of them are David thinking about man in God's world and God in man's world. What we would have expected the first half to be more removed, to be more objective. And yet the author's intent is to build a paradox inside the mind of man. We can debate about our worth as well as God's interest in us and the celestial spheres as long as this discussion is rooted in our minds. And thus the personal element transcends the entire psalm, despite its seeming contradictory stance in the first section. So where are we in the greater scheme of things? It is this attitude which describes man at night, when we look up to God with faith out of fear of the other elements in the world. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, in his commentary to verses 4 to 5, says the following. The psalm is uttered at the sight of the starry sky at night. By day, man blinded by the sunlight sees only earth and the heavens arched over it, supplying the earth below with light, warmth, and moisture. It is only at night, when earth has receded into the shadows and the sky above it becomes visible, with its starry hosts of shining worlds, that the earth shrinks to a mere speck in the universe, and man on this speck becomes so infinitely small. Man looks to God for shelter in this world. Indeed, we're still struck with awe at the acts of God, for which we pay so dearly in insurance. What is man when he says that? It captures our greatest fears and our most humbling experience as but another creature created by God in this wide world. And yet, batachzereu me'at me'elohim. The negating vav. You, on the other hand, created us, as opposed to all other humanity, all other creations. It does not mean and that we're just part of it, but we are so close to you. When we have this definition of the word, we stand a little bit more erect. We recognize ourselves not as another created being, but as the reason for creation. We're not incidental to the world, but the center of it. On earth, we rule. Man is the highest life form, the most creative, communicative, thinking, feeling creature. Man is capable of building skyscrapers, launching spaceships, finding cures of diseases, controlling forces of nature. There's no limit to our ability. And yet, in the final line of the psalm, we revert back to God. Adonai Adonenu Ma Adir Shimcha B'chol Aretz. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The inclusio, this poetic tool that we use through repetition of words at the beginning, at the end, aims to bring full circle our poem, our story. We started as unimportant, and amidst our feelings of insignificance, we recognize that we are still able to speak to God. The critical vav turns the poem on its head as we begin to take pride in our almost godlike status. At this time, too, we hesitate approaching God, not due to humility, but exactly the opposite, our arrogance. Look at us. The final line, though, echoes the opening one, which says that in our morning and our night, in pride and humility, in feelings of finiteness and infiniteness, we still speak straight to God. His glory is always upon us. David uses two poetic tools to demonstrate his dialectical yet cohesive stance. This vav, which aims to stimulate two opposing worldviews, the inclusio fuses the two together. It tells us that not only possible to have both feelings, but is indeed what being human is all about. Some days we feel the vav as conjunctive, as just and, as a cog in the ever-expanding galaxy. Other days we feel it's the opposing vav, the world is our oyster. All of our days we should recognize who created us and acknowledge these dichotomous feelings as part of the beauty of God's creation. It is said in the name of the famous Kutzker Rebbe, that each person should always have both pockets filled. In one pocket, it should say, I am dust of the earth. And in the other pocket, it should say, for me, the world was created. Contradiction? Yes. And that is the message of the psalm. Shalom.